Hello, Sarf.
Hey, Kempton. Hi there. Hi there. How are you?
Good, very good. How about you?
Good. Not too bad. Not too bad. So the topic for this time that I wanted to talk about, and I think the listeners will find it interesting, is actually ultimately the topic is parallel universes, and this used to be a mainstay of science fiction not so long ago,
So
but
parallel
actually.
universe, for those listening out there that are not familiar with it. So it's the idea of people can live in different universe,
Right, that
like
there's
doing the
actually other
same thing or
worlds,
other worlds.
other dimensions in other
Right.
universes where there's, there could be another Kempton, there could be another Saab. This
Ah.
bizarre notion, it's again, it was the realm of science fiction not so long ago, but it seems it's made its way back into actual theory, and astrophysicists and cosmologists these days are actually somewhat believing in it. Anyway,
Really?
we're not going to go into the details of that yet, because I think we need to explain before we talk about parallel universes, we need to explain where it's what it's all based on. And this is what I want to talk about, is string theory. And as you may know, Kempton, this is another area that really interests me, is astrophysics and cosmology and all this kind of fancy stuff, actually. But anyway, so I don't know if you're aware, but the current theory says that we think that the universe is made up of not three spatial dimensions, but 10 spatial dimensions.
Wow.
11 if you include time.
11. I can't imagine that. But yeah, go on, go on.
So this is string theory, or I guess super string theory. And really what I wanted to explain in this segment is, where do these 10 spatial dimensions come from? The casual reader on the topic, which I was, it's you hear about string theory and 10 dimensions, and it just means nothing. Where did this figure 10 come
Right.
from? And
Yeah,
it's
it's
actually
very
quite it,
abstract. Yeah.
it's quite interesting. So here's my understanding of where it comes from. Basically, what the physicists did, is they said, how many fundamental particles do we know? So they cataloged all of the fundamental particles, your protons, your neutrons, your electrons, and all of these weird and wonderful other bosons and neutrinos and antineutrinos, you name it. And they looked at the energy. Or they looked at the mass, rather. They looked at the mass of these particles, and using good old E equals mc squared, they were then able to determine what the energy would be required to create that mass. Okay? With me so far?
Yeah.
So there's another equation. Ties energy to frequency using Planck's constant. Okay, so basically what we're saying now is that energy is associated with a frequency. Okay, this is where waves and strings get into it. So a string is meant to be this tiny, literally a string of energy. Okay.
So frequency is like what we understand as frequency, right? There's
Well, if you imagine a piece of string, okay, and I'm holding one end and you're holding the other end,
right?
and you can have a sort of a skipping rope pattern where it just goes up in the middle and down at your end, down at my end. Or you can have a sort of up and down pattern where there's one dip and one crest. Or you can have three in there, one, you get the idea,
Yeah,
right?
I
You
get the
get
idea.
different frequencies within this string. So the idea is now, with a piece of string, or with this piece of energy, how many different frequencies can you actually create? Because the number of frequencies isn't infinite, especially if you say that the string loops back on itself. Okay, so it's a circle, it's a loop. So what they said is, okay, in three dimensions, all right, if I have three dimensions in which to vibrate this string of energy, how many frequencies can I actually produce? Okay, and therefore, how many different energy levels can I produce? So it turns out That is brilliant. It turns out that with three dimensions, the number of different energies they're able to create is far fewer than the number of particles in terms of energy that they actually observe.
Oh.
So three dimensions isn't enough to account for all of the different energies of all of the different particles that they actually have observed.
Mm-hmm.
What about four dimensions? Still not enough.
Oh.
Five? Still not enough. Guess what?
It's
Once you're up to 10 dimensions, 10 spatial dimensions, you have enough. And it's all mathematics, right? And
right,
what the hell
right.
does four dimensions mean? What does five dimensions
right,
mean?
So,
it's all mathematics. So in 10 dimensions, now you have enough different frequencies to create and account for all of the different energies that we actually observe in nature right now. So there you go. That's the link. This is why physicists will tell you that they think that the universe consists of 10 spatial dimensions. Now, just to think about this a little bit, what does it actually mean, right? So a single dimension, okay, it's like a line, isn't it? It's
yeah,
a line.
It's
so
that
two
line.
dimensions, you take that line and you produce a dimension, so you get a surface.
Sorry, you broke out. Can you say that
right?
again?
Right, so the first dimension is a line.
Yeah.
Second dimension is you project that line through the second dimension to create a surface.
Yeah, a surface, a flat
right?
surface.
Exactly. You take the flat surface and you project it through a third dimension, produces a volume.
Right, right. A three-dimension world like
that's,
we are in.
That's exactly.
Minus
that's
time.
The dimensions we're aware of. So now you take that volume and you project it a fourth dimension, and basically it gets difficult to, you know, really comprehend now.
Right, yeah.
But you
yeah.
You can't draw it on paper, I'm afraid.
No, yeah. Yeah.
But now you have multiple instances of that volume, don't you, basically? So the analogy that Brian Greene gives in this, I think the link we're going to have on there to his book, The Elegant Universe, and the program, the PBS program, The Elegant Universe, is an ant walking along a flagpole. Right, from a distance, that flagpole looks like one dimension, it's a line. But when you get close to it, you see the ant is actually walking around. It has a thickness. Okay, it has a width. So this is what they think. They think these other dimensions exist at very, very, very small dimensions. And, beg your pardon, not dimensions isn't the right word, distances. Right, just small distances. And just to whet the listener's appetite here, these parallel universes, they think, aren't, you know, billions and billions of miles away. They're literally right here next to your skin.
Oh.
Right?
Because so they are on a very, very small scale, on that
very small
scale.
Very small scale.
There are
they
many
think the
different dimensions.
The theory is predicting these dimensions.
Uh-huh.
And this is going to be a topic for another session now, but
okay.
they actually have a theory, or beg your pardon, not a theory, they have an experiment to try to measure the existence of these, and it's an ingenious experiment, and it will take quite a bit of time to describe here now. But again, with topic for another session. But there it is. I mean, I can go on at length on this one. There it is. The string theory then that is predicting 10 dimensions is based on trying to account for all of the particles, subatomic particles that we currently know about.
And
that's that's what string theory is all about.
Yeah, sir. And I want to ask you a question, but you probably have to answer it next time. It's current particles that we currently know about, right?
Mm.
And if I remember right, the more they smash the particles up to against each other, it seems like they're creating more and more particles, right?
It seems like that.
Yeah,
it
and
like that.
Yeah. So it's an interesting topic. So
sure,
look forward to another session about this.
Definitely.
Thanks lots, sir.